Welcome, Ziva, and thanks so much for joining me, and thank you for a completely mesmerizing film.
My pleasure.
Janet Wallach wrote a biography of Gertrude Bell called Desert Queen, and I know this was an influence on you and Sabina, but what was it specifically that piqued your interest about Gertrude Bell?
Well, I had traveled in the Middle East when I was younger, as did Sabina also, and we had both independently read Janet's biography. And the thing that we found so fascinating was that Gertrude Bell was such a complicated person, and she was involved in such a complex history, and there were incredible triumphs and incredible tragedies in her very adventurous life, and that she was a challenge to unravel. And Sabina and I started talking about the book just randomly one day and felt that she would be a fantastic subject for a documentary, not to mention that we were really excited about the challenge of finding archival footage from 100 years ago from the Middle East.
I didn't realize that there was so much wonderful footage from that region from a century ago. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. That was actually one of our very first concerns. We were worried that we were not going to be able to find enough archival footage, and therefore that would really limit what we were able to do with Gertrude Bell as a subject for a documentary. I made a phone call when we very first started thinking about the film, which was in 2009. And it took us about 3 years to get our schedules together. So we started in earnest in 2012. But the very first phone call that I made was to an archive that I had established a relationship with in South Carolina, just randomly in South Carolina. And it so happened that the footage clips that they sent us were so spectacular. And they are the very first ones you see in the film of the round guffa boat.
Yes.
In the Tigris and the men unpacking crates.
Yes.
At the harbor in Baghdad. Mm-hmm. And so we ended up, through the period of 5 years that the film took to make, going through more than 25 different archives all over the world and pulling together over 1,000 film clips. And we use in the film about 500 film clips. It was such a fabulous sort of adventure. We would never know what we were going to find. And we have a lot of hand-tinted footage, which is all, of course, original hand-tinted material, and it really just was such a stunning experience. The other visual element that we used quite a bit was Gertrude Bell's own still photographs. In addition to her letters that she left, which were more than 1,600 letters that were given to Newcastle University in England, Gertrude Bell left 7,000 photographic negatives.
Wow. And were they glass negatives?
No, they were not.
Okay.
She shot with film, but she was a very early user of photographic film and, in fact, complained in some of her letters that Eastman was taking way too long to send her her films, by which she meant actually George Eastman.
Oh, okay.
Himself.
Sure.
And we were struck by how talented a photographer Gertrude
Bell
was,
beautiful.
On top of everything else.
You know, it's almost like she left these letters and photographs just for you guys to make this film.
Well, we like to think so.
Well, how did you decide what to keep in the film and what not to use out of all of those negatives and footage?
Well, the very first thing that we knew that we needed to do was to create of course, the narrative for the film. And Gertrude Bell had such an incredibly varied and interesting life. We could have included an entire section on her climbing the Alps. There are mountain ranges named after her in the Alps.
Oh.
So what we wanted to do was establish first her incredible accomplishments in the Middle East as an advisor to Churchill and to the High Commissioner in Baghdad. And then we wanted the film to go through her life and also when her power started to wane and, you know, what that felt like and what that looked like. So everything that we chose sort of had to move the narrative forward. And part of that, of course, was the editing brilliance of Sabina, who, in addition to being my co-director, was also the film's editor.
Right.
So we created a script based on Gertrude Bell's letters and primary source material based on the writings of other people around Gertrude Bell at the time, and then set about making scenes that would allow us to show that particular segment of Gertrude Bell's life.
Well, I must say you did a fabulous job. And then you had men and women, they were sort of like portrayalists. You know, they were dressed in period costume, but they were actors, and you had them on screen interviewing them as if you were sitting down with them at tea or in one of the clubs somewhere. I don't know, I really thought that your use of those particular actors was very judicious. You know, it wasn't overused. It's like you let the photographs, the footage, and the voiceovers tell the story. But that was an interesting addition.
Well, you know, we knew that we did not want to rely on Gertrude Bell's voice alone, because then the film would be too narrow. Because we're talking about the establishment of Iraq after World War One. That was an enormously turbulent and controversial time, and certainly to this day, that region has so many conflicting narratives. We thought briefly for about 5 seconds about the idea of talking head historians, but we knew that that just wasn't the film we wanted to make. We wanted the film to be an immersive experience
right.
for the viewer.
Mm-hmm.
So we needed a way to get the actual writings of the people and the personalities of the time, a way to get those onto screen. So we sort of decided to do documentary performance, as we would sort of call it, because they're not really reenactments in the way that people generally think of reenactments. But our real goal was to be very understated, so we didn't hit the viewer on the head
right.
with the fact that these people would have lived 100 years ago.
One more sort of production question. You worked with incredible actors, such as Tilda Swinton, who co-produced the film, if I understand correctly. And she was the voice, one of the voices of Gertrude, and mm-hmm. Rose Leslie, whose voice will be familiar to Game of Thrones or Downton Abbey fans. Talk about the roles and how you chose the actors who appeared in the film.
Our first choice was Tilda Swinton to be Gertrude Bell. We knew that she would add something very special. Her voice is warm, it's engaging, and we wanted to break out of the mold of what people would expect from a historical subject. And, you know, Tilda Swinton just had the, you know, the right look and feeling. And in fact, she actually looks very much like Gertrude Bell.
She does.
Yes. And actually, we discovered when we were recording with Tilda that she had been cast about 10 years ago to be Gertrude Bell in a fiction film. But that project fell apart because the screenwriter died and then the director died of that same film, unfortunately. So Tilda Swinton knew who Gertrude Bell was, and we were able to connect to her, and she was interested to do the project. And then we were incredibly fortunate to have great casting directors, and things really fell into place.
You know, this is a favorite time period of mine and a favorite place. And Thomas Edward Lawrence, T.E. Lawrence, is one of my favorite historical characters. I was surprised, however, of how fast in the film you brought World War I to a close. You had introduced Lawrence a couple of times and had one of the actors speak as T.E. Lawrence during his years with the Arab Revolt or in other parts of the film. So I'm wondering if Gertrude Bell had any contact with Lawrence during his years with the Arab Revolt.
Well, she met him originally in 1911 at Carchemish, at the archaeological dig.
Right.
And then she worked with him in Cairo in 1915 in the Arab Bureau. And in fact, we have more than one person of the era. And Gilbert Clayton actually is a character in our film who we have say this. Gertrude Bell gave T.E. Lawrence the maps and tribal charts that he used in the Arab Revolt.
Right,
because she wasn't as familiar with this region as she was.
Right. Because she was with the Howitat long before Lawrence was.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
I really love this time period. I'm so glad you made this movie. Another political question is, how would you describe Gertrude Bell's relationship with Prince and then King Faisal? I mean, both she and Lawrence had, it seemed to me, had something really bittersweet with Faisal.
Yes, well, she met Faisal at the Paris Peace Conference. He came there with T.E. Lawrence in order to make a presentation on behalf of his father, Sharif Hussein of Mecca, and to present what the Arabs felt they wanted to get in the negotiations of the Paris Peace Conference. But the Middle East was not really dealt with at all in the Paris Peace Conference.
Right.
Gertrude Bell felt that Faisal would be, you know, the perfect person to rule Iraq, and felt that because he was a Sunni, but that he would also appeal to the Shia because he was a direct descendant of Muhammad. So, you know, she was very much on board of that and very admiring of Faisal. They had a very warm and respectful relationship. I think that toward the end, she felt that he didn't deal with the nationalists in the way that she would have liked. But that's more of a negative reflection on Gertrude Bell than it is on Faisal.
Hmm.
You know, we wanted to make sure that we presented Gertrude Bell, warts and all.
And, you know, your interview with Christine Amanpour suggests that Gertrude Bell's depression came on at the end of her life as a result of being marginalized by the British government and sort of losing her power. But it seems to me that she could have struggled with it all her life and used adventure as a sort of self-medication. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. Absolutely. She used adventure as a distraction, in fact. And we have a beautiful sentence that her sister Elsa wrote. And there was really nowhere to put it in the film, where she said something like, you know, toward the end, there were no longer camels or ruins to distract Gertrude, and her true feelings emerged. And she was referring to feelings of depression because, you know, her mother died when she was 3 years old. She had tragedy piled on tragedy in her personal life. So I totally agree with your view of that.
Now that you know Gertrude Bell a little better, how would you describe her?
I would describe her as someone who could be many different people. She could be arrogant. She was vulnerable. She was a romantic, but she was also a pragmatist. I would describe her as someone with many contradictions. And what I mostly loved about her at the very beginning of reading Janet's book was I loved the way her writing jumped off the page. One thing that I find so incredible is that people finish watching the movie, and a lot of times they have tears in their eyes. And it's because Gertrude Bell always wrote in such a way that she still feels like a lively, vibrant person after 100 years. That's the brilliance of her writing. And that's what captured my attention also the very first time that I started reading her letters.
So finally, Ziva, to answer your question, why was Gertrude Bell written out of history?
Oh, yes. Well, she was written out of history primarily, we feel, because she was a woman. And we have so much documentary evidence that she was sort of on purpose, not mentioned in different memoirs of her colleagues. Just recently, at one of the screenings in New York, someone came up to us with a Xerox copy of a page out of a biography of Winston Churchill from 1983. And it's the famous photograph where Winston Churchill, Gertrude Bell, and T.E. Lawrence are sitting on camels in front of the pyramids.
Yes.
This biographer chose to caption that photograph, "Winston Churchill and a friend with T.E. Lawrence."
Oh, no.
Yes, he doesn't even mention her name. And then in the latest book about T.E. Lawrence, which is called Lawrence in Arabia.
Yes, I've read that.
It's a really well-researched, very well-done book by Scott Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't mention her either,
Mm-mm.
not even in a footnote.
Mm-mm.
And when we pointed that out to Scott Anderson, he was incredibly gracious and is a big fan of the film and now of Gertrude Bell. But his research never led him to the name Gertrude Bell. It's just an example of the number of books that she's been left out of because, you know, the history was written by white men and they included other white men.
Well, Ziva Olbom, thank you very much for joining me and for your wonderful letters from Baghdad.
Thank you, Amy.